leaders in one way or another. And so these lessons are all applicable, I think, to each and every one of us, and especially in our homes. But we're also sometimes leaders at the office. We're sometimes leaders in other areas of our life. And so these lessons that we're learning can be applied in various aspects of our life. If you will, open your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. Now, I was assigned verses 7 through 14, but I wanted to back up to get a little context, and I'm not going to re-preach or reteach, rather, Wes's lesson from last week, but I wanted us to review that just a little bit. 1 Samuel 23, and we'll start in verse 1. I want you to listen for some key words here as we read through this. First of all, listen for the phrase, "it was told." Then listen for the word "knew," the word "heard," and "inquired." Just listen for those things as we read here. In verse 1 it says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors.' Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, 'God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars.' And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring hither the ephod.' Then said David, 'O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord, God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then said David, 'Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will deliver thee up.' Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." And we'll stop there. But did you hear those words in there? It was heard. He knew. He inquired. He heard. So it was clear to me that both David and Saul had spies. They were spying on each other. They needed to know what was going on so they would know what decisions to make. And so they had some people who had their ears open and their eyes open, and they were watching and they were reporting what was going on. You know, our government has spies. I'm sure you're aware of that. The Central Intelligence Agency is the primary agency for intelligence for our government. And the reason that agency exists is to supply the intelligence, the knowledge that's needed to make decisions in matters of foreign affairs. And I thought it was interesting to read the mission of the CIA from their website. It says, at the CIA, our mission is to preempt threats and further U.S. national security objectives by collecting foreign intelligence that matters, producing objective all-source analysis, conducting effective covert action as directed by the president, and safeguarding the secrets that help keep our nation safe. So there's 4 points there: collecting intelligence, producing analysis, conducting action, and safeguarding secrets. And one example of that, I want to read the account. This is also from the CIA website, a little bit edited down so it's not so long, but you'll remember several years ago when Osama bin Laden was taken down. Let me read that account. It says, in the early morning hours of May 2, 2011, a U.S. military raid on an al-Qaeda compound killed Osama bin Laden, America's most wanted terrorist. The mission's success was the culmination of many years of complex, thorough, and highly advanced intelligence operations and analyses led by the CIA with support from partners across the intelligence community. Shortly after the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the United States, the CIA began collecting information on key individuals connected to or providing support to bin Laden. Reporting made clear early on that he communicated via a network of couriers. It was years later, however, before more was known about one key courier than simply his kunya or operational pseudonym. Analysts then worked several more years before identifying the area in Pakistan where the courier was believed to be located. By late 2010, further intelligence enabled the identification of the courier's compound in Abbottabad, a town about 35 miles north of Islamabad. The compound and its main residence had extensive security features unusual for the area: high walls topped with barbed wire, double entry gates, opaque windows, no apparent internet or telephone connections, and all trash burned rather than collected. Moreover, the two registered owners did not appear to work or have an income that would allow them to afford such a large residence. This led the intelligence community to assess that the compound was probably being used to hide bin Laden as well as the courier. The operation on May 2nd, authorized by the president on April 29th, was a surgical raid by a small team of special operations forces designed to minimize collateral damage and to pose as little risk as possible to non-combatants on the compound or to Pakistani civilians in the neighborhood. In the aftermath, bin Laden was positively identified via several independent means. The daring raid that ensured that bin Laden will never kill again was a team effort, the product of increased integration within the intelligence community and of close collaboration with our military partners. The CIA was at the center of it all, driving the collection of vital information, assessing each piece of data, analyzing all sources to produce the compelling intelligence case that led U.S. forces to Abbottabad. The agency's contributions were the product of a decade of positive changes, improved collection, analysis, technology, and support. You all probably remember that. It was kind of an amazing story when it happened. It's still amazing that they were able to go in and they were able to collect the information they needed to be able to carry out the action to neutralize our enemy. But, you know, as fathers and husbands and future husbands, future fathers, we're in a battle today. And we have a responsibility to protect our families and ourselves. The world, the devil, and the flesh are attacking our families. They're attacking our marriages and especially our children. And like the CIA, we need to be diligent to collect the intelligence that matters. We need to be diligent to do the analysis and then to take action to protect our families. And so I'd like to read over in Proverbs chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Now that section of Scripture, there are several others like that in Proverbs that talk about knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And when I looked at the definition of those words, the Hebrew words that are there, there's a lot of overlap, really, in what I saw in the definition. But I think if we just take the English words as we know them, I think we'll get a good understanding of what those words mean. Knowledge, first of all, is just knowing the facts, right? And so when David was there, he needed to know the facts about what Saul was going to do, what Saul had planned, and what the scenario was that he needed to respond to. The CIA needed to know the facts in this operation against Osama bin Laden, where he was and how he conducted himself, what his daily routine was, what kind of place was he at. They needed to know the facts. And then understanding, and that's kind of the analysis side of it, understanding what those facts mean and how they all play together. And then finally, wisdom. And those that went to the men's advance will remember David Gibbs gave us a definition of wisdom. He said it was knowing what to do and when to do it. And that's a good definition. I don't think it's all-encompassing, but it's a great short definition helping us to understand what wisdom is. And so we need those three things to make wise decisions as fathers and husbands and parents and as leaders in our communities. And so in this passage in 1 Samuel here, we saw that both David and Saul had spies. They were gathering information. They were gaining knowledge. And they needed that knowledge to make the decisions that they needed to accomplish their goals. Now, you'll see that the outcome for David and the outcome for Saul were quite different. And even though they were both gathering information, they were both gathering knowledge, but their goal was quite different. And one of the things that was mentioned in this passage in Proverbs, in verse 5, it says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And I think that's where they differed. Saul didn't fear the Lord anymore. He was focused on himself. He was full of pride. He was full of jealousy. David feared the Lord, and he had the knowledge of God. And then, as you remember, he turned to God in prayer. That's where the wisdom comes from, is from God. We can gather the knowledge, just like Saul did. We can do our own analysis, but the wisdom comes from God. And I think each one of us, in the decisions that we make, we've got to take the time to gather the knowledge. Whatever the decision may be, gather the knowledge, do the analysis, but in the end, we turn to God for wisdom. And He can help us sort through it all and sort it out and help us to understand what to do and when to do it. If you look in verse 7, let me find verse 7 here. It says, And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And so, like I said, Saul had his spies. And this spy said, "Hey, David's down in Keilah. he's trapped. And I'm sure that Saul's advisors said, now's the time to get him. And so Saul was ready to go get him. But what was he doing? He was putting a lot of lives in danger there. Not just David's, not just the men that were with David, but the people there in the town of Keilah, the soldiers that were going to go with Saul. He wasn't taking into account the effect that his decision was going to have on those around him. As a leader, that's our job, not only to protect ourselves, and even not only just our family, but lots of people are affected by the decisions that we make, and we need to take that into account. When David made his decisions, he was taking into account those 600 men that were with him. He was taking into account the people of the town of Keilah. I thought it was interesting. He asked the Lord, will the men of Keilah turn me over to Saul, basically? Will they, you know, are they going to support me or are they going to be against me? And the Lord answered very directly. I wish I could hear God speak that clear sometimes, don't you? He said, they'll turn on you, David. That's basically what God told him. He said, they're going to turn on you. Obviously David made the decision to protect himself and to protect his men, but he also protected the people of Keilah, even though they would have probably turned on him, just like God said. So he was acting more like a king than Saul was, wasn't he? These are Jews. These are Saul's subjects that he's supposed to be protecting, and Saul was neglecting his responsibilities. Let's don't be like Saul. Let's don't neglect our responsibilities to our family and to our community, to those that we have a responsibility to protect. I've gotten ahead of myself here, and I need to figure out where I'm at. So the results of David, first of all, collecting the information from his spies, analyzing that information, and then going to God in prayer, the results of that are that David and his men were protected. In verse 14, it says, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." So, even though his strategic decision to not attack the town of Keilah protected him in the short term, it says that God protected him in the long term. And I think this is because David feared the Lord. He prayed for wisdom, and he acted on the things that God showed him. That's an important part of the puzzle here in the collecting the information, asking God for wisdom, doing the analysis, but then action. If the CIA had collected all this information on bin Laden and then the president had never approved any action, then what would be the good of it? Action is important. And so we, as leaders in our homes and our families, we've got to take action sometimes. The enemy is actively attacking us, and so we need to actively do something about it. And God will also help protect us, just like he protected David. I want to talk about one other person here. We've talked about David, we talked about Saul, but there's also a man named Abiathar in here. Look in verse 6. It says, "And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand." If we go back to chapter 22, and you'll probably remember from, I think it was last week's lesson, that David had gone to the town of Nob, which was where the priests lived, basically. And he had been helped there. And Saul assumed that Abiathar's father, Ahimelech, had basically committed treason in helping David against Saul. And so he had accused him. It wasn't true. He had helped him, but he had not helped him to go against Saul. But he accused him, and then he killed all the priests there in Nob. He attacked the whole town. He killed the women, the children, the babies, the animals. He just wiped out the whole town. But this one priest, Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, escaped. And he went to David for safety. And it says that he came down with an ephod in his hand. Now, what is an ephod? Well, if you go back to the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and God instructed them on how to create the tabernacle and the priestly garments, and the ephod is basically the priestly garment or part of it. It is kind of like a uniform in some ways. Anybody wearing an ephod, someone would immediately assume that they're a priest. And the priest's job was basically to be a mediator between God and man. And so when Abiathar escaped from Nob, he took an ephod with him. In some ways, I think that's a little interesting because the reason the town was, or the target of the of Saul's wrath was the priests, and so he's identifying himself as a priest by carrying this ephod. He'd have been safer, probably, from man's point of view anyway, to leave that thing behind and maybe disguise himself as something else. In case he got caught between Nob and where David was at. But he brought that ephod with him. Now, what does that tell you about this man? I believe that it says that he knew that he had a job to do, and he was going to do it, regardless of the consequences. And so he was true to his office of the priesthood, and so he... But he went to David for safety. And when he got there, even though he had lost his town, his family, all of the priests were related, right? So this was his family in more than one sense. Possibly lost his immediate family. But he escaped and he went to David. But he was true to do the job that he was called to do, even in the most difficult, unimaginable situation. God has called each one of us, given us responsibilities, and we don't abandon those responsibilities no matter what the situation is. And so I think Abiathar in this instance is a great example to us as men and as leaders. And if you read ahead in 2 Samuel, you'll find out that Abiathar served as the high priest under David. And so I think he was rewarded for that faithfulness to stick with the job that God had given him and to continue on with that. Now, you and I, as leaders, we need knowledge. We need understanding and we need wisdom every day to make decisions. And I'm going to read a list of just some examples of the type of decisions that we need to make. And I know there are hundreds and thousands more. But, you know, sometimes we have a tendency as men to just kind of let those decisions be made by our wives. Or sometimes we just kind of default and just whatever happens, happens, right? Sometimes we can be lazy. I know I can. And it's easy to do that. But some of these decisions are very impactful to our lives, to our wives, to our children, to those around us. And I think in each of these cases, you know, our wife should have an input. We need to listen to our wives. They have a lot of wisdom. But we can't ignore these things. We can't leave it to her. We've got to get the knowledge to make a wise decision. We've got to do the analysis and figure out what the information means. And then we've got to go to God and pray about it and get His wisdom and His clarity. Here's some examples. Where should my kids go to school? What should I allow my family to watch on TV? What music should I allow in my home? When should I allow my children to have a phone? What's on my child's phone? Who should I allow my children to spend time with? What should I listen to on my commute to and from work? Should my children be involved in sports? If so, does the coach uphold the same values I'm teaching? These are just some examples. How much time should I spend on my hobby? Should I take overtime opportunities? Should I take a promotion? Maybe it requires more of me. What about medical decisions, financial decisions, relationship decisions? How should I react to situations like when I'm accused of something that I didn't do? How should I react to opportunities that arise? Maybe they seem like a golden opportunity. What about requests that people make of me in my time? All of these things are just examples. I mean, sometimes we teach principles and, you know, they can be applied in so many different areas of life, but I think sometimes it's good to just go through some possibilities and some areas that we could apply those principles in, just to kind of spur your thought. You probably thought of some things in your own life that you're facing right now. And in each of those situations, I think it's important for us to do the research. You know, find out what the facts are. You know, maybe it's a medical decision. You know, what's the best treatment? You know, what are going to be the side effects? You know, those types of things. Gather the information, and then, you know, does all of that apply to me and my situation? And then, in the end, we turn to God and we pray and we say, God, here's what I'm reading. Here's what people are telling me. You know, here's the situation, whatever it is. God, help me. Give me wisdom. Show me what this means for me. What should I do in this situation? God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's best for me. It may not be the same thing that's for you. But God can, He has promised to give us wisdom if we're willing to ask for it. And so here in 1 Samuel, David was faced with this situation with Saul wanting to kill him. He's gone down to Keilah. He's already asked God's guidance on whether to go down and fight the Philistines, and God answered him. He then is in this situation where Saul has him trapped, and he turns to God again, and he calls Abiathar the priest to come down to so that because in that day he was the mediator, the priest was the mediator between God and man. I thought it was interesting, even back in the previous chapter, David, when he inquired of God, he went to the prophet Gad, and so that was the protocol in that day. You know, we're blessed today. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Amen. And so, you know, you don't need to come to Brother Brinson or some priest somewhere in order to ask God. All we have to do is bow our head and ask God how to handle the situation, and He has promised to give us wisdom. And so I think we can gain a lot of wisdom from David and the way that he handled this situation, Abiathar. And in a negative way, we can look at Saul and see what we don't want to do. But as men, we're all leaders in our families. We're all leaders in our homes. And we may be leaders in other situations as well. And so I pray that God would help each one of us to be wise in our decisions and to do the due diligence that we need to do to make the right decision. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You again for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, that You've promised to give us wisdom if we'll just ask. And, Lord, I pray that we would be like David, that we would be concerned about those around us, those that it's our responsibility to protect. Lord, give us that fear of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just give each one of us wisdom to handle the different situations that we come up with upon each and every day. Thank You for what You're going to do, and we ask it in Jesus' name.